another court. Counsel, thank you, Shane, for your opening prayer, possible work to help. Thank you, Father, we need for getting our hearts and minds going in one direction. The invitation song is the same as the title of the lesson. Welcome, soldiers in Christ, arise is the title. I want to talk to you about becoming a better soldier, or if you have not yet made that name and put him on the baptism, that you will find some things here, some meat to chew on through the week, throughout the day. I'm not big on giving pictorial depictions, but I wanted you to get a sense of what a Hebrew soldier might have looked like. I also want to point out something very significant in this depiction. There's no shield. We're going to learn about the full armor of God, what it means to put that on, how it can apply to us. The key points are that we live in a time, not just today, we are in a spiritual warfare. We need to see that this life, this world, is where we sojourn and where we are working, living, moving, acting. But if we are Christians, we are called out of that. We are called to be a people set apart. The second point that I hope you walk away with or intend for you to pick up on, we must be good soldiers for Christ. And third, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. What powerful words those are. If we are falling, we are not. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Lord is a warrior. It says so in his word. Exodus 15 and 3. That the Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. The weapons of our warfare are not of this flesh. Remember that Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. If it were, he could have called not only the angels, but his soldiers, his physical soldiers. By contrast, he told Peter to put up the sword in the garden after he cut off Malchus's ear. And the fact is, this is not how the kingdom of God was to come, not by the sword, but by the sword of the word. You catch that? It is living, sharper than any two-edged sword, the word of God. quoting Scripture. So the weapons of our warfare are going to be spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare weapons. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, we find that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divine in power for the destruction of fortresses. You see, the spiritual kingdom can't have an end. A physical fortress does. Have you ever seen pictures of some of the ruins of Egypt or columns from the Roman days when they've fallen off, they've toppled down, or archaeologists go and they're digging in the dirt, digging in the dust, the alluvial soil or mud and silt that's washed out of a river, and they're finding things? Well, the point is that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall in this world. But the kingdom of God is one that will last forever. Amen. So be it. So be it, Lord. I want to be in a part of an everlasting kingdom. We must put on the full armor of God. This is rightly so, a beloved scripture in Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. As I read through with you, I invite you to think about how this applies to your daily lives. You know that you have a cross to bear, you have certain things that you're dealing with, be it in school or beginning a new job or just moving in or a combination of all three. We have things that we need to carry, burdens we need to work through. Here is an excellent spiritual warfare. Get yourself ready for the rest of the day and the week and the rest of life. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You want to make sure you're in the right corner of that boxing ring. Does that conjure up an image? You want to make sure that you are on the side of the champion. A future lesson there, possibly next door today. We need a champion. Not worldly kind of people. We need someone who will champion a cause. We need you. We need ourselves. We need Christ Jesus, that first champion. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, this present darkness we're living in, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Sounds like it was written for 2021 and 22. You know, they were dealing with their set of messes and sins and wrongs and wickedness and their present darkness in that first century as well. They crucified our Lord. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to have to make sure that we use wear thigh protection in football. That's almost gone, and the knee protection also. They don't need to use that anymore. It surprises me. I believe, and Shane could correct me on this if I'm wrong, and I know that Damien is hoping to play baseball. Catchers usually put on enough gear that they're going to cover, especially whatever is in front. Your knees are pointed. Your hands outreach. We need to make sure we have those spiritual weapons or equipment to protect ourselves, because if you die spiritually, you won't be able to fight that spiritual fight anymore. Okay. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we have faith, righteousness, and the gospel of peace. If you're kind of putting these weapons together. In addition, we'll take up the shield of faith, and I emphasize that because that depiction was missing a shield. You've got to make sure you have the shield of faith. Everything has to be grounded in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We teach it, we preach it, we believe it. It's in there. That's like the foundation of the beginning, is it not? That's the crux of the matter, but we cannot stop there. I was not a very good baseball player, but to go back, I did catch a bit. I'm not saying I was good. But you want to make sure you got your equipment. Not only that, that you got it strapped on. You don't want to fall off. You know, if you've got a mask that pops off the football, it's there for a reason. The faith that comes out of, that is born out in the scriptures, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that faith has to be strapped on. And you ever hear people say, I neglected my equipment, I didn't check. You know what dry rot is? Don't let your hearts dry rot. The moving people grab my big heavy bag, Taekwondo, pick it up, it ripped like it was a stack of pinches. Why? It had dry rotted. I hadn't used it in a long time. Tell them what I said. It happens. Use your faith and dig into the word which is going to build your faith, because you need to keep that supple and strong so that you can use it. Do not let your faith dry rot. It will break apart and do you no good. In addition to all, taking up a shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Is that any other than Satan? He was a liar from the beginning. Didn't Jesus tell us that through Scripture? He was a liar from the beginning. Now, if God didn't spare angels, why would he spare someone in this world who's still mired in this world, entrenched in this world, and still sinful in this world's hour or day of darkness? By day, I mean, of course, time. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And so here we have salvation. Notice salvation comes after we've added to that faith. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. That's why I thank you for wording that prayer for all of the church here. If you are a member of Christ's body, you're here this morning. We are the body. We are the church. We are that kingdom, that spiritual kingdom. And pray on my behalf, and I do ask you and shame you. Continue to utter prayers in my behalf that I will be able to teach, preach, reach others, and pull them in as best I can, for as long as I can. But God gets the glory, because it is not who has that increase. Utterance that may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. It needs to be proclaimed, and God did not give us a spirit of weakness. Being weak and humble does not mean weak. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy with wisdom and in fear. Got to know what we're doing, right? Based on, I'm continuing on the baseball thing. There are no base runners. I should say the batter lays down bunt on the third base line. Shane gets out of his crouch, runs over. It wasn't a good bunt. It kind of stopped there. Picks it up, throws it to third. It's too late for the third baseman then to fire it over first to get the runner. So we've got to make sure we're doing things wisely according to godly, not worldly wisdom. Because man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Not because I said that I'm being an oracle or a speaker of what God's word says to you. Check me on those words. Our wisdom, our best ideas are foolishness to God. Oh, but look at the great structures we built. And then you look at the wisdom of God and uttering into existence the entire universe from which we start extracting metals and building materials. And it's a humbling experience, again. So, your wisdom and fear. Work out your salvation and fear and trembling. We have to have an awesome respect for an awesome, all, full of all God. Put on the full armor. Philippians 1 and 27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. This is personal conduct. Let your conversation be. In the King James, when it says conversation, there are times when it means your personal conduct. Not just what you say, but what you say is part of your conduct. Your actions. Somebody told me once, I like this thought. What someone does to you, and then you have a feeling and then you react. You have two choices, and that person ruined his or her one. So if you think that by stop, look, listen, think, consider, conduct yourself, lie in your words, if you think that's a position of weakness, I like reading where you find truthful statements. I think it was Warren Buffett who said, and I'm not saying we should seek after this world's wealth and gain. There's nothing wrong if you have it properly. The thief, that's not gaining properly, right? There's nothing wrong with building something so that you can help others. Now, Buffett said to become wealthy, he had to learn to say no. And he says no more often than he says yes. It is knowing what to cut out of the mix as well as what to hold it onto or what to go for. Because you're not going to be able to do everything. So, this day, this week, the rest of your lives can focus on what things are the essential. Let me get the essential pieces right. And our sister Sandra often in Bible study brings this up, condition of heart, and she's right to do so. Clean on the inside, I cover first. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come, whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. There's unity, but it has to be unity in the spirit. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, for a wonderful statement from the Apostle Paul, written. Colossians 4 and 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Can you apply that to the Lord's church? You're someone I do not know. I like to make a joke and say, I came in the house. She doesn't have to acknowledge right now. I came in the house and I said, well, I just met another person I didn't know. That's my way of saying, are you confident enough to go to somebody else and say, "Hi, my name is Mark Household. I live right here." Not a few names, not one. I haven't told you to use that one. Zandra smiled. She wrote down my name on her name card. I said, "I wanted your name." You can understand that, right? Be ready to properly represent yourself and the body to which you belong. And be kind. She said, "Welcome to the neighborhood." She was out for a walk. I was up there working, and they light bulb moment. So I had the light bulb moment, and I spoke with her. "I'm right. You live in the same country. I don't know the last name, but I hope maybe one day I can talk a little further with you." "Well, I am a semi-retired teacher. You tell me your story. I do this, I work with whatever. I am a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ that meets at..." What's Titan Zane's with? "Do you know where that is? Come over, no pressure, but come over and visit us if you ever have the desire to do so. We welcome you." Conduct ourselves in a way that they would want to see. Want to see somebody dead to you. If it was a person in your family, maybe you grew up with members of the Lord's body, I didn't. Somebody loved, somebody talked to me. Let's go to the same words. Thank you. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges, according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your day, your stay, excuse me, on earth. Fear, respect, and yes, fear and trembling, but the wrath of God that is going to visit destruction on those who do not repent. Examine the scriptures, Acts 17 and 11. I invite you to do this while I'm teaching. Preaching. I invite you to do it after. Throughout the week. Now these were more notable, these are the Bereans, than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scripture daily to see whether these things were so. It might sound good in worldly wisdom, but be careful, even the adversary, the devil. You know, even if someone disguised as an angel of light, how will we know one preacher in Bitburg, Tom Black, is now an evangelist in Bulgaria? He said, "How will you ever know if I'm telling you a lie?" And he kind of leaned in and got someone and said, "Unless you study." The Bereans received it with great gladness and eagerness, excitement, energy. They also checked to make sure they were being taught the gospel truth, the scriptural truth. We need to dwell on these things. One of my favorites. I mean, we could say they're all favorites, but this one really, day after day after day, whatsoever things are with dwell on these things, think on these things. Philippians 4 and 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, brothers and sisters, listen, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Think on these things. You want to get up out of the mud? Think of the step out of the mud. Not trying to go around. You ever do that? You ever have big waders on and you're out duck hunting and step, and it's swampy and soupy? That's a lot of suction that is holding you down. It's hard to move your feet. But if you can find one good foothold, a good, well-rooted root, the you can grab onto something that will pull yourself up out of it. Whatever things are good, we have to recognize the bad. We have to recognize that we are in wrong. We also have to need to know where we need to go to. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He wanted to keep on. Okay? Be diligent. That's keeping on. I haven't read the book, but I did read two about drive and action and habits, two specifically about habits. Diligence, there was a book titled Grit. We used to hear about grit, determination, okay? Diligence. Don't give up, don't quit. You can see the finish line, or maybe the finish line of the morning at noon, and we want to press on to right now to get the last chunk of the lesson, or something that you're working on. It does not only mean at the end of your life, sisters, brothers, and friends, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That means not only his authority, it has to be right and proper. He's not the God of confusion. He's not divided. He told us so. So let us make sure that we are in the word and being diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved. To show thyself. Study. Study. I believe the King James words it. Study to show thyself approved. A workman. Do you see the connection if you were in Bible study? I was speaking to a former River Valley student whose last name is Workman. Can you use things like that sincerely and say, I want to teach you about being a worker or a workman for the Lord? He's ex-military. He's former military. And he's got a warrior hunter mindset. Friend, if you're my brother, or if you'll consider studying with me, maybe we can talk about how you can put on some spiritual weapons to do spiritual warfare. God watches over us. Approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Do not believe every spirit. I could not help but think of Zach and his comments at Wednesday, good comment, Wednesday night, about the spiritual realm, our Wednesday night Bible study. We're not to believe everyone. Not all we're good. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. One of the main reasons there's so much confusion. And here, we want to talk about awesome power and strength. If you know who is standing with you, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. In Psalm 33, again in verse 13, 22, the Lord looks from the heavens. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. There's an old, I think, Shakespearean quote. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost, and for want of a horse, the kingdom was lost. This, God's wisdom speaks louder than that. hear ye him. And this, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul through death, and to keep them alive in famine. The wilderness out there in the real world, that's the famine. We come here because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we will be blessed. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped to believe. Isaiah 42, 13. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. We're in a spiritual warfare. We must be good soldiers for Christ. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. And a reminder again, the Lord is a warrior. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Put on the full armor of God. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy with wisdom and fear. Examine the scriptures. Dwell on these things. Be diligent. Don't believe every spirit. And the Lord will go forth like a warrior. Soldiers of Christ, arise. There is an connection with the sword. So now, why do you pray? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on his name. If you have not, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins now. If you have, keep putting on the full armor of God. Take care. This is a dangerous time and place to live. Won't you come, brothers and sisters?